I mean, bring your musician with you. Amen. Amen. Y'all make me see. Amen. Bring the magician, the musician with you. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. To the creator and the maker of this whole wide world. And then after you did that, you come and you created little old me. For that I said thank you. Mine went to the title of the Sunday school lesson. God does not forget. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for all that you've done. Thank you for the praise and the worshiping that have gone to you this day. And all that went toward you before we arrived to prepare us for this time. We thank you for it. Bless us now. But God, the word is about to come forth. Somewhere you said your word would not go out and come back void. Thank you for the fruit that your word will produce. I claim the production of your word, not because of this earthly speaker, but because of our heavenly Father. Bless us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, the hors d'oeuvres and all that other stuff have been served.
Come on now.
Now it's time to put on the tray.
Amen.
It's time to get the niceties of the soup bowl.
All right.
The niceties of eating the salad before the meal. All that's all well and good.
All right.
Now it's time for the meal. And the meal is the word of God. And I thank God for all that he's done. I know on the program you see that the title of the message is rejecting self-righteousness and seeking perfection. And that sounded good and it fitted well and it sounds real up there. But I come back and I looked at this and I just had to fix this so it could help me to present it to you. And I did it in four little words. It's Jesus or nothing.
That's good. Amen. Amen.
It's Jesus or nothing. That's it. And that's what, to me, that's what this other says, rejecting self-righteousness and seeking perfection. All across the world, men sense they need a relationship with God. They have a sense of God, but they sense there is something wrong between them and God. Other times, they thought that they were might have been right, and they might have been wrong. Thought about what I had done and what I had not done. But underlying whatever feelings they have, men are never sure whether or not things are right with God. They like the perfect assurance and confidence that pleases God enough to be accepted to him. They have a hope that God will accept them. But we do not know, nor with absolute certainty, if God will accept us.
Right.
It is these feelings that have stirred the religions of the world. Men want to be right with God.
That's right.
Just don't know how to get there. I stop by to tell you to take you back to the subject. It's Jesus or nothing. They want to be approved and accepted by God. They want God to look after them and to help them. And they want God to accept them when this life is over.
All right. Uh-huh. All right.
Therefore, we need to set out to do what we feel like will make us good enough to be accepted to God. They try to do whatever good they feel is necessary to please God. One man feels that he has to be extremely good. Another man feels, I can just do it in a moderate sense and be good. This kind of religion is a religion of work, and work just won't make it. We wonder if we have done enough good or if we have been good enough. It is a religion of self-righteousness. Can't earn the favor of God. God is perfect, and not a single person upon this earth is perfect. No person can do enough good to become perfect enough, no matter what they may do. No person can earn or merit the right to live in God's presence. I stop by to tell you that it's Jesus or nothing.
That's right.
Point number one. Just got three. Point number one. Paul himself had achieved the height of self-righteousness. Paul, the apostle, had achieved the height of self-righteousness. This man that we call Paul, as Saul, he did some great things in the Jewish nation. Paul himself ranked among the greatest of men who have ever, and I don't want you to miss this next word, attempted to work their way into God's presence. I stop by to tell you, and don't stop doing it, all this stuff that you do in the church will not get you in the presence of God. You can't do enough good. You got to go back to the subject, it's Jesus or nothing. You got to go through him. I can't leave that, y'all, because it's in my heart. Paul did all the good he could to secure God's approval. Few, if any, man have attained what Paul did by human effort. Yet, it was all to no avail. His goodness and his attainment did not make him acceptable to God. And there is one primary reason: he could not make himself perfect. And I don't want you to get tired of hearing this, but it goes back to the subject. It's Jesus or nothing. Paul said, if any man think that he can trust in the work of attainment of the flesh, I'm more. I've done more than anybody else have done, so I'm already in. I can trust and boast in the goodness and the morality of the work of the flesh as much as any man who has ever lived. Listen to what he says. His claims. He was circumcised the eighth day. The eighth day. Not the sixth or the seventh or the ninth. The eighth day. Just come to my mind in numerology of the Bible. Eight is the number of new beginning.
That's right.
Starting all over again.
All right.
When you come to Christ, you start on a new page. You get a new sheet.
All right.
This keeps coming up in my mind, and I'm dating myself, but that's okay. In the yesterdays in the school, they had what they call the cumulative folder. They didn't have the computer.
That's right.
They had the cumulative folder in Florida. And when a student was going from one grade to the other one, the teacher of the grade that he or she was leaving would write a comment on that folder. Third grade, Johnny was absent 25 days in a row. And when he came back, he stayed 2 days and then he was gone again. And that follows you.
That's right.
That's your record. Paul said, I have done more than anybody else. So what it's saying is that if you're born again on the eighth day and start a new life, you start off on a clean sheet. Look at this side. I got writing on this side. But now I'm turning another page and nothing is there. That's what happened when the eighth day, when you get your heart circumcised. Heart circumcised. You begin a new life. Paul said, he's given his own credentials here, talking about the good earthly things that he's done. He'd been circumcised the eighth day. Paul was saying he had the right birth. He was from a true Jewish family. Always have had it. In the Jewish nation, on the eighth day, all male boys were circumcised the eighth day. And that was to prove that they were Jew. Circumcision was a sign that a person believed in God and his promises. How many people think they are acceptable to God because they have godly parents?
All right.
My grandmama. My granddaddy's name is on the cornerstone outside the church. That gets me in. Not so.
All right.
You got to go in for yourself. You can't go in on somebody else. It's Jesus or nothing. Then he said, I am of the stock of Israel, meaning all the rest of you people from all these other nations, you just don't matter, because we are the selected people of God. We have received the law. Do you have a law from God? I am of the stock of Israel. We have visitors today, and I don't want y'all to think we're crazy around here, but we are kind of crazy. But we have a thing here about the. I heard somebody mention a name over this side from Itabena, Mississippi. Is Russ College still there? See, historical black colleges have a thing.
Come on now.
They're always against the other historical black colleges, but we still love one another. Because we are of the stock of the historical black colleges. That don't make no sense to you if you're not from there. But if you're from there, it makes sense to you. We argue, we fight among ourselves. But don't you mess with one of us. Because then we all get on the same side. Help me somebody. That's the way believers are. We all are in the same way. So,
all right, man. Yeah.
We're there. Because of this God that we serve, we are the stock of Jesus Christ. Nothing but Jesus. Nothing but him. That's all it is. And so Paul is saying, I am of the stock of Israel. And that means that I'm somebody. Then he broke it down a little bit further. He said, I am of the tribe of Benjamin. I am of the tribe of Benjamin. Benjamin was a favorite tribe because they were the tribe of the woman of Israel whom Isaac loved. And two wives, I don't know how he did it, but God fixed him, he did it. Two wives, but he loved this one, Benjamin's mother. She died giving him birth. But and the tribe of Benjamin was loyal to the tribe of David when the kingdom split. So they thought that they were somebody because they were loyal to King David. And they were. They were good people. But it's because they are of the stock of Jesus Christ. And they did so many things that were right. But let me tell you something. If I begin to think myself that I'm somebody, I lose something. I lose something. It's not me. It's the God that lives inside of me. To God be the glory for the great things that he's done. When God does it, he needs to receive the glory. If I receive glory, it's going to soon fade. But if God receives the glory, all it's going to do is get greater and greater and greater and greater because of who he is. It's Jesus or nothing. And then he said, I am a Hebrew of Hebrew. That means that you may be a Hebrew, but I'm a Hebrew just a little bit better than you. See, Paul was exalting himself. And I kind of had a problem with this when I started looking at this the first of the week. But after I stopped looking at Paul and started looking at me, I began to see things. Because I don't know about nobody else but me. And if our visitors wasn't here, I'd be doing the same thing the same way. When we were in school here, an all-black school, I lived in a little place called Baker, about 8 miles from here. Brother Joe and Brother Carl lived here in Crestview, right here where the school was located. When we first come this way in 1950, they thought they had the inside track because they lived in Crestview and we lived in Baker. And our thing was to show them, that whenever we had our little school in Baker, we beat y'all. And when we come over here, we're going to be the best that there is. We were trying to tell them. I stopped looking at Paul and started looking at me. So many of us look outside at other people and we forget to look at ourselves. I try to get you right and get you in heaven and I bust hell wide open because I don't get myself right. We need to get ourselves right. Y'all have to excuse me. I'm just me. There used to be a song out there that said, sweep around your own. We got to take care of ourselves. If I take care of myself, then because I take care of myself, I can encourage you to do the same thing. Hebrew of Hebrew. Talking about, and it's not bad to have a lot of confidence and pride in yourself. But don't become self-righteous. Keep yourself humble. So God can use you. If God, Jesus said, I think it's somewhere in John, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. If I lift up myself, I can only draw some people. I can't draw everybody. But Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all. And you do know that all in the Bible is all. It's all. Outside of the Bible, you might not call it, but inside the Bible, all is everybody. If we receive him. Okay. And then he said, I am a Pharisee. Paul had a lot of accolades to lay upon himself because he knew where he had come from. Paul claimed to have the right religion. That's being a Pharisee. Help me, Holy Ghost. Help me, Holy Ghost. You're not right because you don't go to my church. You're not right because you don't believe the same thing that I believe. Your church is not right because you have women ushers. Your church is not right because you have women ministers. Women preachers, your church is not right. Paul is saying, because I have all of this, I'm somebody.
All right now.
Oh, but don't y'all go to sleep on me now, because I got something else coming after this. Paul, he was letting them know what his personal accolades were. And we do the same thing.
Yes, sir.
It's Jesus or nothing.
That's right. That's good.
And after that, he said, you have to have some zeal about what you're doing.
Yes, Lord.
Well, I remember, that's how I know I'm getting old. I can say I remember we had a minister that was, he was born and bred in Baker, and he went away and he became educated and he became a licensed minister. And he come back, he was pastoring in Michigan, I think somewhere, Pastor Gray. And he came back to us one Sunday and he preached. But Reverend Gray, my wife and some of the rest of you may know him. He stood just like this with his notes. I have my notes here too. But he went straight down his notes. He never moved, never did anything. He just right there in Lebanon Missionary Baptist Church. And that's where he was reared up in that church. But he became Methodist when he went away and went to school. And so he did his message. And it was a wonderful message. I got a lot out of it. Because at the time, he might not have reached nobody else in that congregation, but he reached me. I can see myself now sitting to the right on the first pew, and he preached. I sat there and I tucked my notes, and I got a lot from it. And so when the pastor stood up, he said, "That was a wonderful message." He said there was a lot in it. He said, "But if I preach like that for 3 Sundays, they'd run me out of here."
All right.
Yeah. I ain't lost. I'm marinating you. But it was a lot of meat. A lot of stuff was in it. And it encourages people. But Paul said you got to have some zeal in this. You got to be willing to go after it with everything you have. You got to put your whole self into it. And to me, Reverend Gray preached that message. I got a lot out of it. And I heard him preach 25 or 30 years later, and he preached the same way. But the word was there. What you're saying, preacher, it's just what you get used to. How you get used. The word of God does not change. You don't know when I was doing the responsive reading up here, standing up here doing the responsive reading, when I would read my part, I would try to hurry up and get through my part so I could hear you. It's something about when you hear the echoing of God's word, and God's word seem to be in the whole place. God's word, when it goes forth, he said it will produce what he's sending forth to do. His word will not go out and come back void. This word of God, if you let the word of God come out of you with zeal and perfection in what you're doing, God will.
I believe it.
His word will do what he said.
Yeah.
And I know, I'm looking at some people that this word have done some tremendous work in. You just won't tell it. Yeah. That's why you're able to do like you do. The word is on the inside of you. And sometimes we try to hide it. What you mean, preacher? I go to work. People at work don't know that I was in church yesterday and I enjoyed serving God. And when I get around the water cooler and they start telling one of them jokes that's off-colored, I laugh, but I don't want to laugh. Oh, but one of these days, the zeal of the word is going to rise up on the inside of it. And when they start to tell that joke, you're going to say, "Wait a minute, I don't like that." And if they continue to tell it anyway, you turn and you walk away. Because what you leave is not as good as what you're going to.
That's right.
Sometimes you got to show people,
yes, Lord,
which side you're on.
Uh-huh.
You have to tell them what thus saith the Lord.
Come on now.
You have to allow God's zeal to come up on the inside of you.
Yeah.
And this word of God will provide what you need.
Yeah.
Some of us want to stand up within ourselves.
Uh-huh.
And you don't want to stand up in the Holy Spirit.
Uh-huh.
There's a difference between standing up physically and standing up spiritually. When you stand up physically, you stand up by yourself. But when you stand up spiritually, you stand up in the power of the Holy Ghost. That song, there's power in the blood, in the word of Jesus. You have to understand that you are not your own. You were bought with a price. You were on an auction block on your way to hell. But a man called Jesus went to Calvary and he saved your soul. Nothing but Jesus. Jesus and Jesus alone. I got to get out your way and I got to put my notes away because my help is here now. When Jesus will call you, you just got to answer. Yeah. Nothing but Jesus. Nothing. Paul said, all these credentials I have, I count them all but dung. Yes, that mean that they're nothing. I get rid of them because this God that I serve is an awesome God. And he will provide just what you need. I don't need anything that God does not have. Why you say that, baggage? Because it said he created everything. The world and they that dwell therein, it all belongs to him. It's Jesus or nothing. All of my degrees, I hang them on a wall and I look at them, but my degrees will not get me into heaven. There's one degree that only counts, and it's a BA. It's called born again. When you're born again, Jesus Christ will save your soul, because you've already said, for God I live and for God I'll die. Yeah. And brothers and sisters, you need to be real careful when you say something like that, because if you don't mean it, the devil will try you and see if you mean what you said. You need to say it and not say it in your own power or not boasting in yourself. You need to say it because of the God that you are serving. This God that I served looked out at nothing and said, let there be. And when he said it came forth. And the thing that I love about God's word, everything was already there before he said it, but he had to say it. It said, God said, God said, God said. What that's telling you, Baggett, is that every now and then you got to tell somebody about the saving grace of God. You can't just show me all the time. You got to talk to me sometime. You got to tell me sometime what God have done for you. And when you tell me what he's done for you, I'll stop listening to you, and then I'll start watching you to see if you're lying to me. See, sometimes a lie sounds just as good as the truth, but you got to live this life. You can live it better than you can talk about it. Some people say, I'd rather see a sermon than hear one anyway, because if I see it, you got to live it more than one day. This God that I serve will not have you to take some other God. It's him or nothing. If you don't take Jesus Christ, you can't make it. You can't go to God in the name of Abraham. You can't go to God in the name of Isaac. You can't go to God in the name of Paul. It got to be in the name of Jesus Christ. It's Jesus or nothing. Nothing is nothing. If you break it up, it's no thing but Jesus. You got to have him. You can't have him today and don't have him tomorrow. It's an everyday job. It's 24/7, 7 days a week. You got to have him. It's Jesus or nothing. Y'all have to excuse me, but this God that I serve is an awesome God. He brought me from a mighty long ways, and I can tell you, he's not through with me yet. Why you say that, baggage? Because I'm still alive, and as long as I'm alive, I promised him that I would not leave. I'd stay in his word as long as he allowed me to live. If I don't preach in Macedonia, I do like one of my brothers I saw the other day. I'll get my Bible, and I'll stand up on the corner, and I'll preach this word wherever I go, because God have told me to teach his word. If I wasn't teaching his word, I'd probably be at Spring Hill. That's the cemetery. But I'm preaching his word because I made a promise to him. And you know what? I broke my promise sometime, but God have never broken his. He keeps his word. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All of the ground are sinking sand. I'm on the rock of ages. Jesus Christ, my only Savior, the virgin born, dead, buried, and resurrected Son of God. Thank you, Lord, for your word. It's Jesus or nothing. Don't want nothing else. Don't need anything. I got Jesus, and I don't need anything else. He's all that I need. I might be by myself, but I got Jesus. No man or woman that walked with Jesus walked by themselves. What's the song? Order my steps in your word. Lead me and guide me every day. You got to understand that it's Jesus or nothing. If you don't have Jesus, you have nothing. This God. This God. Listen to me. Listen to me, please, ma'am. Please, sir. Serve God. If things are not going right, serve God.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
If things are going wrong, serve God. If things are going wrong, serve God.
That's all right,
and I know that when things are going right.
My Lord. My Lord. My Lord.
That's all right, Pastor.
Preach it.
I'm going to turn and walk away.
Yes, sir.
But because I turn and walk away from him, he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Long as I'm walking away from him, he's still with me. Because see, let me tell you something. I ain't been saved all my life, man. So when God saved you and you get back out there, you'll just go so far. There's some things you're not going to do. That's the Holy Spirit still unctioning in you. My wife's a good cook, and she cooks some good meals, and sometimes, like yesterday, I wasn't quite ready to eat when she finished cooking. And I guess I did that for a reason, baby. So I could tell this here today. She left the eyes. Ours is high, 2, 3, and low. She turned them on low. Don't y'all go to sleep on me. She turned the eye on low. That low was when I'm a believer and I walk away from God and I keep walking. But the heat. Hey! The heat's still there. The heat's still, the Holy Spirit is still there. It's in me because I received it. No matter how far I walk away, God. When I got up ready to eat, I just dipped it out the pot. Oh, no, she did. She did. She dipped it out, put it on the plate, and I ate it. Didn't have to heat it up. Hey! It's already heated. Didn't have to do nothing but eat it. That's the way God does it. When we walk away from him, he does not leave us. It's Jesus or nothing. You got to have him.
That's all right.
And when you receive him, it's a lifelong commitment.
Yes, Lord.
It's a lifelong commitment. You got to let him in your heart. No matter what your credentials are, earthly, there's another one you got to have. You got to be born again. And don't let none of us tell you that that you're not born again if you know you're born again.
That's right. That's right.
Church folks will mess you up.
Yes, Lord.
You got to know. You got to know that you're walking with God. And when you know you're walking with Him, you might stumble and fall. But don't stay down. Who's that? Donna McClurkin? We fall down. But we get up. And when a young believer fall, don't you step on it. If you do anything, you reach down and pick him or her up. Chief Master Sergeant Milton Chatham said that if a Chief Master Sergeant is walking and he stumble and fall in a pile of mud, he said if he take his hands and push down and get straight up, says he keep walking, half of the people won't see the dirt that's on him. Because he would have passed them and they'll see his back. If you don't wallow when you fall, get straight up. Get up. Don't stay down there. Don't wallow in it. Get up. We fall down, but we get up. I'm sorry. I got out of there. But now Paul, I'm about through. Paul said, everything I'm doing it to win people for Christ. Don't look at my accolades. Look at the Christ that's in me. The Christ that's in me. And if Christ, this is a key factor here for me. If Christ is not in you, it's going to be difficult for you to see him in me. I'm glad you asked. I heard you when you asked me. How? Because you don't know what he looks like.
That's right.
You don't know what he looks like. If God is not tabernacling with you, you don't know what he looks like. You'll think he looked like something else.
My Lord.
I'm through. But let me, I didn't have an illustration, but this one keep coming up in my mind. And so I got to tell it. And some things when you're preaching, when I'm preaching, I try to get away from repeats. I don't like repeats, but I like leftovers. So that must be what it means. Okay. In stories and illustration, inanimate objects talk. They talk. And there was this servant who had the job of watering the master's flowers. He had a yoke and had two pots. Okay, now y'all gonna have to help me, so don't go to sleep. This is the flower bed here. And this is the lake over here. So he walked to the lake, filled up both pots, turned around and started walking back to the flower bed. He took the pots, emptied them in the flower bed. Turned around, walked back. Did the same thing about three or four times. And as he was doing that, now this is where y'all gonna have to help me. The pot that's on the left-hand side had a hole in it about halfway up, and it leaked. So every time he filled it up and started back walking, it leaked until that point. And when it got to the point where the flower bed were and they put it in there, he only had half of the water. And so going back to the lake, the pot started talking. Said servant, said, why when I get to the place, I'm only half full and the other one's full? He said, that's the way you're made. He said, okay, come on. He said, but after a while, the master gonna take and get rid of me, said, because I'm only doing half a job. He said, just keep doing what you're doing. And he emptied it out. He kept complaining and talking about it, And so they went back to the pot about the fifth or sixth time, and they filled it up. Coming back, this the pot with the hole in it, right? Left hand side? Okay. As they were walking back, the servant told the pot, said, as we go back to the flower bed, to the flower, he said, look down at the ground. He looked down at the ground, and he saw a whole lot of flowers, and they were blooming. And he poured it out. Then when they was going back on this side, he said, now look down at the ground and see what you see on this side. He said, I don't see anything. He said, I see flowers. I don't see any flowers. I don't see anything. I just see grass. He filled it up. He said, but on this side where you're leaking out, what do you see? He said, I see all flowers, but I don't see any on the other side.
What God put in you, he didn't put it in you for it to stay or for you to keep it. The part that was on the left side didn't understand that that God had put the water in him, but he put it in him for him to do something. And see, the moral of the story is nobody else might not know or you might not know what you're doing. But if you're doing what you're doing for God, God will get the glory. The glory was the flowers that were growing. See, God gets use out of us in strange ways. Ways that we ourselves do not understand. I just stopped by to tell you today that it's Jesus or nothing. Will you stand? And if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, this is your time. This is your time to come to Christ just as you are. Just as you are, you need to come to Christ. And if you come to Christ as you are today, he will take you as you are today, and he will use you. You might not see it or you might not know it, but you need to come today while you yet have time. If you are still breathing, you need to come to Christ today. If you don't know him as Lord and Savior, will you come? Will you come? Will you come to Christ today? He will save you. But you need to come. You need to let the world know that you're on God's side. Will you come? Will you come? God bless you. God be the glory.